for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
Saturday afternoon, December the 29th, 2001. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the speaker of the afternoon.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to share this afternoon on things that God calls an abomination. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of sharing your word, and we just ask now that by your Spirit that you would speak those things, you would bring those things to my remembrance that you would have me to share in the name of Jesus. And I bind the powers of darkness over this place. I bind principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, in Jesus' name. And we'll praise you and give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you will, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You know, we have a lot of false gods. We don't most of the time recognize them or call them that, but we do. But God tells us that we're not to have any false gods. And so we're going to go just a little scripture or two on this, in this area, and then we'll go the direction the Lord leads us, okay? So if you will, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Praise the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 14, And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might do them in the land with whether you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of solemnitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourself and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And you know, I was sharing upstairs. I don't know if I can. I can't stand still, so I'll get this. Over in Deuteronomy 28, Gwen used it the other day. Was talking, and the word tells us that we had to obey the word, to keep His commandments, to do the word. And it tells us if we don't, then the curses will come upon us. But we say, well, that's Old Testament. We don't have to worry about that, you know. But you do remember what Jesus said when they came to him? He said that he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. Okay, Revelation 22, verse 13 through 14 tells us that blessed is the man that keeps his word, that keeps the law, that keeps the, and so God tells us we're blessed if we obey his word. And we have not been doers of the word as God wants us to be. And so he says here, not to corrupt yourself. And you know, we just came through a time of idolatry. You don't hear people preach against it. It's not a easy thing to do. But it's idolatry. Christ mass. And you know, if you tell people that what they're doing is idolatry, they get mad at you. Let me give you a scripture. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord spake unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathens are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, and one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the works of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. What are we talking? What's he talking about there? What kind of green tree? All through the scripture, we have that green trees were used in idolatry. They were used in a worship of idols up in the high places. And yet we go and we decorate a tree. We bring a tree in. I have to tell this. We had stopped having Christmas several years ago. I don't even remember when. But we had bought a manger scene and put it in my yard. My husband made a big barn, you know, a stable. And then on each side, I mean, it was big. He bought sheets of plywood. You know how, you men know how big a sheet of plywood is. And he built it the full length of the plywood. And he put these, we put these figurines out in front and lit them up and all this. Well, after Jim passed away, well, I didn't put it up anymore. Never even thought about it. It was upstairs in my attic. I had a visitor come visit me to help do some cleaning out of my attic. And the very first thing he saw was, that idolatry, get it out of his house. So he loads up all that stuff and takes it down to the dump and dumps it in the garbage. It'd been sitting there, and I was walking by. Now, what I'm telling you this for, idols, idolatry. I saw it every time I went up there and never even thought of it, never occurred to me. That's the man that came over to my house and cleaned my Dollar Tree. And it was interesting. It really, at the time, I thought, why haven't I thought of that? Why didn't I see that? There it was every time I went up the stairs and went in that back room. There it sat in boxes. And the thing is, it did. It really did. And I thought it was the other varmints that was up there that I was afraid of. But it's true. And when he got rid of it, it was amazing. You know, Doc, I didn't tell you this, but when we got rid of it, there was so much freedom, more freedom in my house than I'd had in a long time. Never occurred to me what I had in my attic. You see, we can walk by it and never see it. We bring it in. You say, well, what was wrong with that? I'll let him tell you. I'm not going to get into it. He'll preach next time and he'll tell you. But the thing is, it is idolatry, and it's not the whole thing. When my husband kept saying when he was putting it up, he said, this is really not right. He said the wise men didn't come to the stable and all of this. And the Lord was showing him all the time, but never did do anything about it. And that's how we are. We see it and we don't do it. You say, well, I don't care what you say. Well, that's okay. You know, the Lord didn't tell me to stand up here and convict you of anything because I'm not God and I'm not Holy Spirit. I'm just here to tell you. You do with it what you want to. But let's check. He tells, I'm going to give you another scripture that tells you that we're not to bring an abomination, things that are abominable to God into our house, because when we do, we become a curse like it. We bring accursed things into our house, we become like it. And it brings bondage into the house. Praise the Lord. Let's go back over to Deuteronomy chapter. I got another scripture in chapter 4 I want to read. Verse 23. It says, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which is made with you. Which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. So he tells us to take heed, to be careful what we do and what we bring into our house, what we have, and not make gods out of it. You can make a god out of your family. You can make a god out of, you can, your children can become idols. Anything that stands between you and God is an idol. And you know, the brother was teaching yesterday morning, and then last night when Brother Pittman was speaking, I want to tell you something. Man, he was talking to me last night, it got me to examining myself, because I want to be what God wants me to be, not what I have wanted to be. When he was talking about some of the things, I wanted to know if I was the only one that stood here and looked at that and said, Lord, help me to obey your word and to put your word first. Because the word is life to us, to those that find it. You can't pick and choose what you want of God's word. It's all of it or nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 25. Yeah. And 6 is where I'm going. I don't know why I'm having trouble seeing up here, but I am. He said in verse 25, he says, the graven images of the gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou become a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. You know, I was telling the girls the other day, I think it was one day this week, the Lord spoke to me about an altar I had in my house years ago, and I didn't know it was an altar. You know, I read over in Deuteronomy 4 that God says we're not to, that we, he didn't show Moses any solemnity of himself, anything about himself, and he doesn't want us to make images of beasts or of the birds or all the animals and things like that. Well, did you ever stop to think that he may be talking about images of us? And you say, pictures is what I'm talking about. Do you say, well, that's just going far out. Well, let me tell you what the Lord told me personally about my house. I was talking about the altar, that I had pictures of my children and my grandchildren sitting on the table with a lamp over the in on the center of the table, and the pictures was just there, and I just didn't think anything about them being there. And, you know, but every time someone would come in the house, I would say, did you see my, let me show you my grandchildren. And I would have them look and ooh and all, and, you know, I wanted them to ooh and all of my grandkids. And God spoke to me, and he said, you've got an altar. And I asked him what he was talking about. I didn't know that he was talking about my table with those pictures on it. And he said, and then he told me exactly what I was doing. He said, you've got people looking at them, and you're bowing to that God. It's the false God. He said, you made an idol out of your children and your grandchildren. And then he, to show you how big an idol I had those on the table, and then I had one of my bedrooms that we didn't use on every wall. I had a son here and a son there and a son there. I had three boys and a girl, and the girl, and I don't know which wall they were on, but all their children and all the pictures, just stacks of pictures lined the wall. So the Lord began to talk to me about it. I took them down. I destroyed my idol and my altar. And you said, what did you do with them? I put them all in boxes. And I asked the Lord to forgive me. I don't want an idol in my house. And yet, you still have them. You still bring things in and make idols out of them. And we don't mean to, but we do. You know, the Word tells us to put the Word first place in our hearts, to give it, to attend unto God's Word. I shared upstairs on healing. And we had a lot of deliverance on sickness. And I firmly believe that the biggest part of our sickness and diseases that come against us is when we rebel against doing the Word of God. We take what we want of it. You know, the Lord showed me a long time ago, deliverance is not where you go and pick and choose what you want to be delivered from. You're either delivered from everything or nothing. And some people will come in and say, well, I want to get delivered from cigarettes, but I don't want you to touch this or that. Well, then if they don't want to keep this or that, they have to keep the cigarettes too, because God won't do it. He doesn't do it that way. And that's what he's telling us about the Word. We can't pick and choose what we want of the Word. You say, well, I don't do that. Check up on yourself. We excuse. We make excuses. We make reasons why we don't do. You know why we that know about Christmas, now I'm going to get back on and harp a little bit. We don't want to be different. We don't want people to think we're strange, but we're supposed to be a peculiar people. But we're not always peculiar. We don't stand up for what we really believe. When people will come against us, we won't defend it. I tell my people, I said, you know what? God's people in my church, in the church. I said, if you don't stand when somebody's telling you what they think about something and you keep your mouth shut, they think you're in agreement with them. The lady next across the street from me, his daughter told me that she was going to come to my house for Halloween. I said, I don't do Halloween. Well, I had to explain to her why I didn't do Halloween. Her mother already knew, but yet her mother was doing Halloween. And so the thing that I'm saying is that we need to speak out. I don't mean to say, do it ugly. Sometimes I feel like it when people want to. I have to really pray sometimes about what I say, because I'm real quick at saying what I think before I think it through. and has to repent a lot of times. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say is, I am sick and tired of seeing God's people sick and tired and walking defeated, and I want to see them to be us to be the overcomers God wants us to be. I want us to walk in the place where God wants us to walk. I believe God wants us to overcome all of this. He gave me Revelation 21, verse 8, and he said, the fearful and unbelieving, all of those that he's talking about in that verse, will have their place in the lake of fire. And brothers and sisters, we need to stand up and be an epistle that people can read and want what you've got. You understand? I know you understand what I'm saying, but look, if we're not showing Jesus in our lives when we walk and the love of God and walking in the things we proclaim with our mouth, they will call us a hypocrite. Church, quiet in here. And I don't want to be called a hypocrite. It's hard. You know, it's hard to keep you to walk in the place God wants us to, but if you want to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to do it. You know, I lost all of my kids when I really decided. Jim, my husband and I decided no matter what, God was being first in our lives. We wanted the things of God so bad. Well, our children were all out in drugs and alcohol, and not all of them, but some of them were. And when we wouldn't lay aside what we believed to entertain them, to keep them, they left. And they didn't come back for a while. A long while. I had one son who was gone about 6 years or seven, maybe eight. I don't even remember exactly how long he was gone. But we never regretted it. We missed our kids. We loved our kids, but that we were not, they were not our gods. God promises in His Word. You see, sometimes when we do the things that we should do, the things that we know, we're afraid we'll lose our kids and our family. To me, that says that our kids mean more to us than God does. And we've got to turn them loose so God can work. You know, if we're there to pick them up every time they fall and to meet every need they've got, they don't need God. We've got to turn them loose so God can work. And then while He's working in them, He can work in us. It's hard to walk, but you know, it was hard. Let me put it this, rephrase that. It was hard at the beginning because I love my family. I love my grandkids. I had grandkids that I hadn't seen in years. That is not easy. But you see, we turned them loose. You said, well, you shouldn't have done that. What could I do for them? I love them. I love them just as well today as I did when they were little and when they were growing up. But what I'm trying to tell you is that it costs you to walk in the Word of God when you're really going to walk in what God says. It costs you everything you've got. My husband used to say this. He said, I used to tell people it doesn't cost you anything to become a Christian. I said, then when I became one, I found out it cost me everything I had. But see, in return, we get all that He is. I told y'all I was nice the other day, but today, just don't stone me yet. Let me finish first and then have at it. Praise the Lord. But the thing is, God wants us to be obedient to His Word. Get rid of your idols. Get rid of your idols. Tear them down. Tear down the strongholds that the enemy uses. Because as this Word says here in verse 26, says, neither shall thou bring an abomination to thine house, lest they become a curse. I was telling the ladies upstairs, I moved from a house that I had lived in all my married life after my husband died. And you know how I did it? I broke a soul tie with it. With every foot of the ground. I said, I rode a lawnmower and cut my grass. I was over the whole yard, ditches and all. And I said, Lord, I've been over every foot of this ground, so I call my soul back out of every part of it. I broke a soul tie with the house, and I raised four children there, and my husband died there. And I knew when I moved I was going to have to pass that house every time I went to town, and I wasn't real fond of thinking about that, but do you know, after I broke soul tie with that house and all that land, I have no problem going back. In fact, I hardly ever think about it when I go back. You see, God restored my soul. You know, our soul goes into things. While I'm on that, I'm just going to touch it a little bit. One of the girls upstairs really helped me the other day. I was talking about fragmented soul and how the soul can be torn and removed. And she said, I was talking about the mind, the will, and the emotion, what the soul is, the mind, will, and emotion, personality, ability. It's you. And she said this to me. You know, some people remember the times you said, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And sure enough, you did. You lost a part of your soul. You gave it to them. I was talking about I used to sew for my kids, and my daughter's in college, and I was making dresses for her, and I said I put my heart and soul in that thing, in a dress, you know. And when I learned about soul ties, the Lord, I was cleaning my closet one day, and I saw that one of those dresses hanging in the back of my closet, and the Lord said, call your soul out of that thing. I had said it, spoke it with my mouth, and I had worked on it and worked, and I wanted to be perfect, you know, and I put my heart and soul in it. So you said, I don't believe that. I don't care. I'm telling you like it is. God said it to me. You don't have to believe it. I do care. We want to walk in all that God has given unto us. We need all of our soul, our mind, our will and emotion, and our ability. I'll tell you something. Call your soul back. It can be removed. Brother used scripture this morning, Psalm 7. It says that the enemy stole our soul when there was no one to deliver. What's he talking about? It's before you came to the Lord. And even after you came to the Lord, when you get into sin, that gives the enemy an open door to remove parts of your soul. Okay, going on. You ought to be up here. It is so easy up here. It's like war. Praise the Lord. The Lord's good. Amen. In Deuteronomy and Joshua chapter 6, sin opens the door for the enemy. We disobey God's word. In Joshua in chapter 6, in verse 17, Joshua and them were going into battle, and the Lord told them when they went into battle in verse 17, he had told them not to take anything and bring of the enemy and bring it into the camp. He said in verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that is that are therein in the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself a curse when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. God tells us not to bring things in, enter a house, and when you go out and buy things, you need to pray over them. You said you're just too dogmatic. Well, let me tell you something. You can bring things into your house unknowingly, and you don't know where it's been or what. For instance, a lot of the clothes comes from other countries where they make them, and they pay them nothing hardly to make clothes. How do you know what kind of curses could be put on them? We need to pray over it, everything. The word says pray without ceasing. Say, how can I do that? Just talk to the Lord like I do. Walk around and say, he's with me all the time. Just he and I live in this house. And you just talk to him and say, Lord, I just take authority over this and break the power off of it in Jesus' name. And I do it. Not all the time, but every time when I go out and get something that I look at it and it doesn't look, you know, I don't know where it came from. I pray and break curses over my food. And I'm a little, I have people really look at me strange. But let me ask you something. The ground's cursed. The people that harvest it could curse it. The people that put it, if you buy canned stuff, which I do, can curse it. So when you go to eat it, break curses that's been loosed upon it. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. My husband did that one time. We had visited somebody, and they had asked him to pray. I couldn't help but laugh. It wasn't funny at the time because I saw that woman, lady's face. And so when he got through and after dinner, I was telling her, I said, he does that over food I cook. And I said, he wasn't breaking curses I put on it. Maybe he should. I might have been murmuring over it for all I can remember. You know, murmuring, we do a lot of it. And I said, it's the way we pray. we take authority over the, any curses that's been put on it. You know, the Word tells us in Mark 16 that if you drink any deadly thing or eat it, it won't hurt you. But you better pray over it so if somebody puts poison in your food, if you pray over it, it won't work. The poison won't work. We don't know what people put in our food. You should have seen this pack of meat that I just had to call the company about. I should have called the Board of Health, I think. They sent a representative out to my house to pick it up. Man, you better believe I'm going to pray over my food. And I'm going to break curses over it. And I'm going to look it up and down before I eat it, too. Boy, I went 2 days and I couldn't eat from what I found in the food. I hope you'll pray, break curses over your food. Okay, let's go on. In Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Going over to verse 11. Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Joshua was sick in the Lord. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen this, and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. I have ladies come to me and have children at home, not grown children, but small children. And grandma that's not a believer, or someone that doesn't know anything about all this, will buy them Harry Potter and stuff like that. And they don't know what to do with it. And I think it irritates me. They don't know what to do with something they shouldn't have in their house, and their kids didn't need it. They do not need it. And God tells us here, if we let it come into our house and bring it in, that we become cursed like it. Look what happened to Israel. God didn't say Achan had sinned at the beginning. He said Israel had sinned because they had brought that cursed thing. Achan had brought it into the midst of the camp. The whole camp was contaminated because of it. When God says something about not, tells us not to do something, He means it. He doesn't give us any leeway. If we're going to be obedient to the Word of God, we've got to obey it all. You say, you're just talking about all the things in the Old Testament. What does the Word say? The Old Testament is, in the New Testament, it says that it's types and shadows of the new, and it's I can't remember the scripture right at the moment, but Jesus said He didn't do away with it. It is for today. But the thing is, we have problems being obedient to it because of fear of people. Maybe we like the things more than we do God. I have a lady in my church that's been there for 12, 14 years, maybe longer. And she said they put up the Christmas tree. They've been having the Christmas tree. Her kids are all grown. And the whole thing. And she says, but I can't do anything about it because of my husband. And the thing that that's her business. But my point of bringing this up is she knows and he knows. And I think a lot of times we lay the blame on someone else when it's really us that doesn't want to do anything about it. I know us ladies are real good at using our husbands for excuses when we don't really want to do anything that we know we should do. And she's having all kinds of physical problems in her life right now. I tell you something else. This hasn't got a whole lot to do with abominable things, but it is an abomination to God. If we say we're obeying God and we're not tithing, we're liars. And truth's not in us. We're stealing. We're not only lying, that saying we're obeying God, but we're stealing God's money. And the Lord showed me this about a lady in my church. She doesn't tithe, and that's fine. It's between her and God. But she was wanting prayer for physical problems. Another lady, And the Lord reminded me that until she got her life to line up with the Word, that she was walking, what she was walking in was what she had chose to do. And I said, Lord, that's hard, but it's still the Word. He said over in Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And then he said, will a man rob God? See, the church doesn't need her money. God supplies our church. I was talking to Brother Tom Hall ago how the Lord does supply. But the thing is, she needs to be obedient to the Lord. We need to obey God's word. I ain't got started yet, girls and boys. I got a couple y'all going to really enjoy just before I get through, Lord willing. But you see, God wants us to obey him. If we want to obey God, we've got to clean. This is the house that I'm talking about more than anything else. I'm talking about bringing things into your house you live in. But what are we putting in this one? We don't need to. Oh, praise the Lord. Leviticus chapter 17. I'm sorry. Verse 10. And whatsoever man there is in be of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, and neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourn among you, that which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl, or that may be eating, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I say unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood. Therefore whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which... Well, that's as far as I want to go. Eating of the blood. You say, well, I've never done that. Brother Glenn touched on this the other day. But let me ask you something. Do you ever go out and eat a rare hamburger or a rare steak? There's blood in it. And God says that it's an abomination. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. The soul is in the blood. And you're literally getting the soul of the animal if you eat meat with blood in it. You know, Jesus, the word says in Isaiah 53:12 that Jesus poured out his blood, his soul, into death. And that blood, the soul is in the blood. His blood was poured out upon the cross. Well, he tells us here in Leviticus that we're not to eat any manner of blood. Years ago when I first, way I found out about the blood that people eat and what it does to them, I was doing deliverance on a lady that was, at that time, as old as I am now. She was pretty, a real elderly lady. I'm not elderly, but she was. And she had, I don't remember how we got into it, but she told me that, she said, you know, she said, my father made my mother make him blood pudding. And said, then I married a man, and he made me make them for him. And said that, I don't know what it is, but she had all kinds of blood diseases. And so we began to call the blood out of her. We didn't know about the soul being in the blood. We didn't know about breaking curses at that time. But we began to pray for her and call all that she had eaten out of her and all the infirmities. This lady had on a pair of slacks, and when we got through ministering to her, and she delivered a lot, she had to literally hold her slacks up to go home. She had lost that much in her waist. And so we began to wonder about it, and then we found out about the curses with the scripture where God said that we're not to eat the blood. Well, now, if you've been eating blood, in meats, rare meats, and I know a lot of people like a steak just run across the grill. I've seen people eat it like that in restaurants. You need to repent of eating of blood and break the curse over your family. In fact, you need to do it. We need to do it anyways because you don't know what your forefathers did.
People who eat raw meat have a curse of lust.
There you go. And you need to break a curse of lust over you because you don't know what your forefathers have done in the area of eating. And we seem to think sometimes that that doesn't apply to us, but it does. A lot of, what about high blood pressure, heart problems, and all these things that pertain to the to our blood? It shall be a perpetual statue for your generation throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. God said that it'll be a forever curse, didn't it? And that's why he tells us it's used for the wash, the blood. Glenn went through those the other day. Cleansed by the blood, washed in the blood, sanctified by the blood, justified by the blood, the blood of sprinkling. I always quote this when the enemy starts after it, and I have to fight the enemy. I'm blood bought. I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm cleansed by the blood. I'm justified by the blood. I'm sanctified by the blood. Satan has no partner lot within me. And as we obey his word, then we stand upon that word and say, devil, get out of here. You have no right to me because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all. The righteousness of Christ through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we have the blood, and the enemy would pervert that. We know that in Satanism and in witchcraft, they use the blood. They drink the blood, and they use it to pervert everything that God has given us about it. So we have to be on our guard to take care of it in us, break the curses over us so there's no open door that the enemy can come against us from having eaten the blood or, as he said, the raw meat. I was telling the girls upstairs that we had ministered to a man in our church that was in his, well, I hadn't, but Jim had ministered to him. I don't remember, but one time I was praying for him. I had several of the ladies help me pray for him. He was 91 years old when he died. But Jim was forever having to pray for him for lust. And I thought, 90 years old? Lord. But if you're having problems with men or women with lust, you need to break the curse of having eaten raw meat. I firmly believe we need to do it. I'm just so foregone. I break curses of all kinds and want it off. And let me tell you, when I break a curse, I call it out. Curse is a demon, isn't it? Amen. Okay. All right, let's go on. Are y'all with me? Have you gone home? Sometimes I feel like I'm sitting up here by myself. I'm not through yet. I'm just getting started. I'm going to the good part. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Praise the Lord. You know, I always say when I'm preaching this, I'm reminding myself. You know, you'd be surprised when you're always ministering in the area of deliverance that how much you can forget. The enemy will try to block you from remembering it, so it's good to go over it and remember it and refresh it in your own mind, in your own self. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15, he said, but Jeshu waxed fat and kicked, thou art waxing fat, have I got the right one? Yeah. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils and not to God, to God whom they knew not, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not, of the rock that begat them. They are unmindful and have forgotten God that formed them. Form thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. He said that they provoked him by worshiping and sacrificing to gods. And so, I don't know if I plan to get on abortion, but I'm going to hit it since I say that. But, you know, abortion is a sacrifice to Satan. Baal worship, but who's behind all of it? The devil, Satan himself. And I always look at it, you talk to people about Baal, they don't know him, but they sure know the devil. But it is Baal worship because they sacrifice those, the children, you know, they would take those children and put them on the arms of that idol. And they made all kinds of noises so they couldn't hear those babies scream that they were sacrificing. But look what they're doing today to the babies. Just look. And look what we have sit idly by. What have we done to prevent it? We've elected people and put them in Washington that shouldn't even be there. We need to really pray over the killing of the babies, confessing the sins of our country, of our nation, of destroying the innocent and sacrificing the innocent blood. It's a sacrifice to Baal, to God, to the devil, to the false gods. And God says it's an abomination. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. If we don't want to hear what the word is saying, then our prayers become an abomination to God. And I was told you that I was talking about things that are abomination to God. Everything that we do that God tells us not to do in this area is abomination to Almighty God. Over in the 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 2, I quoted this while ago. Ye are an epistle, Paul says, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, I didn't think that sounded right. First, that was real good, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. It's hard to turn pages and hold a microphone, but I'm making it. I'm doing it. I've done it before. No problem. In chapter 3, what did I say, 3? Yeah, 4. He said in 4, I'm still in the wrong book. I'll get there eventually, I guess. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll get the right one in a minute. I start with verse 1. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering in doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And you know, we're literally seeing that today, that people they compromise the word. I got an email given to me that David Wilkerson had on the, and anyways, it said that they're building these monstrosity churches, and they can't, they have, I don't remember the word he used, but the word that the Lord gave me, that's happening today is they're compromising the word. They're watering it down because if they preach the true word, their offerings will fall off, the people will leave the church, and they can't build those big monstrosities that they're building. And that is really the truth. I was in my hometown where I live right now. The first and second church is building across the road from each other, and they're trying to outdo each other in building them. And I'm not, well, the first and second church of the city I live in. And they don't allow the Holy Ghost in there. They don't believe in healing. Healing comes if it's God's will. You know, if God wills, he'll heal you, but if he doesn't, he won't. And yet they're building these monstrosities, and people are, since the towers fell there, that, you know, they can't get all the people in the churches. And my question is, why don't they preach the truth? They wouldn't. And it's an abomination to me, and I thought it must be a stench in God's nostrils that people are hurting all around you. And yet, they're not giving them the word and ministering truth to them to help them survive. I was talking to the girls upstairs, and I said this, and I'm going to repeat it down here. I wasn't coming against doctors, but I was coming telling that we needed to stand on the word. What would we do if there came a time when you couldn't go to a doctor? And if you've got the word in you, if you begin to stand on the, get the word in you and begin to believe God's word and obey the word, you would survive. But we depend upon man. And so here they've got all these big churches going up, and yet they're not telling people, hey, go to the doctor if you need to, but God's got a better way. I didn't even get an amen out of that, and I would have thought at least one would come forth. I'm not trying. I got it from the doctor. Praise the Lord. But it's true. Peggy Goodson and I used to be in the trailer up here together, and I was telling them, we used to sit at the table of the morning after the men left, and we would talk about the word. We always enjoyed just discussing the word, and we would pray, so we were talking about, we need to get busy and get rid of these glasses. She said this to me, what would you do if you needed glasses and you couldn't get them? And I said, you know, it's so easy to stick the glasses on your nose when you got them, and you don't work on getting healed from that. If you're in pain, you'll go to the doctor and take medicine. But you know, you can stick, if you can't see, you just poke your glasses back on your nose and you go on. But what if you couldn't get them? God said, Moses was 120 years old when he died, when God took him. His eyesight was not dim. The brother right there. Every time I see him, I just want to get close to him and see if what he's walking and rub off on me. He's a young man. No glasses. Walks around, he moves around better than most of you younger folks do. Now, I'll tell you, I can't say us older folks. But what I'm saying is there is a better way. If we would just grab a hold of the Word of God and walk in it. We talk about it, we presume it, but we don't walk in it. And I want to see us walking. I want to walk in it. I'm preaching to you so I can help myself. I tell you right now, the more I preach it, the more I believe it. And God wants us to. He wants us to depend upon Him and to trust Him for everything. And it's possible. Moses was 120 years old. His eyesight was not dim, neither was his natural strength abated. 120. Look at this little man right here. I said, he's little, but do you know why he's so little? He never sits still. He's running here. You almost get run over by him sometimes. He's moving so fast. And God wants us to continue doing that. And the only way we're going to do it is trust in Him. Man can't do that for us. And when we obey this word, when we stand on the word, when we believe it, you won't stand on it till you believe it.
Turn over to Malachi chapter 3.
Okay. I like help.
Read.
Wait till I find it. I got it.
Matthew, 2 pages back.
I got it. I know where it is. It's just a matter of getting it unstuck. What, 6 and 7? Verse chapter 3. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me. And I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein have we returned? Now let me read the rest of it. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that you there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. If we return unto God the way He tells us, He said He's a God and He's changed not. He has not changed. He says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we're the ones that walk away from Him. We're the ones that don't believe Him. And God wants us to believe. I was talking to the Lord this morning when I was going over these scriptures, and I said, Lord, everybody's been preaching such good sermons, and now you want me to get up there? And the Lord said, you go and you preach it, and you tell them to stand, take the word, start consuming it, let it become a part of you. My prayer is, John chapter 1, verse 14 said, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten. And so God wants us, the word to become flesh within us, that it'll be so real that this brother here, I call him a walking Bible. He can get up and quote it from book to, I think from cover to cover. And that's what God wants us to do, because look, it brings life. The word in you and I brings life. And we think if we just wait a little bit, we're so busy being busy that we don't take time to spend time with God in the Word so He can manifest Himself to us. He said, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Well, He would manifest Himself in us and to us if we would spend enough time in His presence. And then we'd hunger and thirst for the Word, and we would do everything within our power to obey it. And so that's what He's wanting us to do. He's wanting us to obey it and to not find excuses why we don't. My heart's desire is to see God's people begin to walk in healing. It's not easy. In prosperity. In wholeness and sadness. You know, God, really though, I guess what I'm really trying to say is that God wants us to walk in health. He doesn't want us to need healing. And that's where we want to come to, is where we can be healthy. And we can go out and lay hands on those that are sick and know that God's going to heal them.
Amen.
And that the crippled, see them, you know, I'm tired of hearing about what God did. I want to be where God's doing today. I want to see the people that have a foot gone, that God restores it. I want to see the insane instantly set free. And when we begin to walk in what power and authority God's given us, we will see it. Because we'll believe it, because we'll have it so in us that no one can take it from us. I always say, when you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, nobody can take it from you. And that's what God wants us to have. That's where we need to go. That's what every one of us, that's why you're here. That's why what we all want. But are you willing to pay the price?
I think you might become a preacher.
Think I might make it? I'm trying. If I live, when I live to be 100, I'm going to be a good preacher. If I'm 120 years, I'm coming back and do it again. Praise God, praise God. Let's go now to Judges. You know what that scripture says? That every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's what we're seeing today, isn't it? Every man. Judges chapter 17, verse 6. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And when you look around us, I was thinking about it when I don't know if I got that scripture here or not, where the word says to train up a child, you know, in the way you go, and that father's children obey your parents. And you know, it's been turned around today in our world, that children more or less don't obey the parents, but the parents are obeying the children. It's reversed, because you can't, the law is that you can't spank them. You know, you're abusing them. And the word says that spare the rod and spoil the child. And the word says if you beat him, he won't die. And that's talking about doing it the right way. I'm not talking about knocking them in the head or bouncing up against the wall. But the thing is, that's just an example that the things have been turned around. Instead of man obeying God, every man, the world's been telling our children in the schools, anything you want to do is okay. If it feels good, do it. That's not God. That's an abomination to God. Look what's happened to them. Look what's happened to our children. Why do you think they end up 14-year-old girls pregnant? Children on drugs. It became a fad several years ago in the little town. I don't know what you'd call it, but the kids, I guess, called it a fad, that for a little girl to get pregnant and have a baby outside of marriage. The school in this little town, I won't name it because I don't know where this is going to go. Half of the girls had babies outside of marriage. 14-year-old, I know one in particular that that has a little boy right now. She's 20, and he's 7. She's 13. It's an abomination, a child having a child. And that they say, you know, whatever they want to do, let them do it. That's wrong. And this is what I'm talking about. He says here, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Pleasure became God. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. If I don't hurry up, I'm not going to get to the good part. Chapter 16 and verse 15. He said, verse 14 says, and the Pharisees also were covetous. Who were covetous heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart, knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God wants us to put him first, and he supplies all of our needs. When we obey him, when we obey his word, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, you may not need all the things you want, but God will give you what's needful, which is food and clothing and a house covering over your head if you need it. But we don't look at it that way. We want him to give us, I don't think Cadillac's very big anymore. I don't know what the biggest, most expensive car is, but I find people want the best. They want those real expensive cars. This thing's expensive today. But God may want them to walk. It's healthier for you to walk sometimes. And we have got to go on from where God wants us to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I heard someone tell me that they were praying that God would cleanse them. Well, chapter 7 in 2 Corinthians and verse 1 says, I'm going too far. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God tells us that we need to cleanse ourselves. We know. God knows all about us. He knows what's in us. He wants us to want to be free from and cleansed from all unrighteousness. Sometimes I think it would be wisdom to pick up the TV and pitch it out the front door, the back door, the side door, somewhere, and get rid of it. There's so much filth on it, it isn't worth watching. I was listening to the news. I turned the TV on this morning to see. So someone told me it was going to snow, and I thought, I don't want to be trapped in hot springs and snow. I was over here in the ice last year. And I turned it on, and they're saying something about snow. I said, I'll rebuke that in the name of Jesus, and I'll break the curse of it. Lord, I just command that snow to go, to dissipate. We're not going to have any snow here. So God's given us authority, and so we need to take the authority and believe God's going to do it. I came back from upstairs a while ago and came without a coat. They were talking about how cold it was going to be, and I was hot. I came, walked all the way around the church, and I thought, Lord, thank you. Psalms 106. Okay, hurry up. 106, chapter, verse 34. He said, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathens and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yet they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. I was talking about the abortion a while ago, and that was the scripture I was looking for. So sacrificing children, the innocent blood, and it defiles, our land is defiled because of it. Okay, I want to go to Acts chapter 17, verse 29. Acts 17, chapter 17. Y'all keep me straight over there. Acts, verse 29. For as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. He said that it's time that men repented of the things that they had done. And so, let's go to Genesis 35. We need to repent of allowing so much of this to come about. You know, as Christians, we've stood back and not... There's been a lot of Christians that have fought it, but then there's been a lot of us that just sat back and didn't do anything about the things that were happening to our world, our country. And we've been asleep. And God wants us to wake up. Genesis 35, and what I said. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. Now, okay. Genesis 35 and verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. And let us rise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. They took the strange gods. They also took their earrings. Got mighty quiet. I'm not through yet. Go to Exodus 21. Glenn always helps me with this, but I think I got all the scriptures. If I miss one, he'll get it for me. Exodus 21. Had a lady tell me, she said, I prayed about them, and I asked God, and he told me I could keep my earrings. I said, good. I won't even comment. Exodus 21, verse 6. And the master, this the earring, the hole in the ear is a sign of a slave. And this is a scripture for it. It's talking about as a Hebrew servant. If you buy a Hebrew servant, in 6 years he serves you, and in the seventh year he'll go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be their masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with a hole with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, we have found that there is a sickness that comes with it. There's also harlotry. Let's go to Hosea. I believe that's a scripture. I won't. Hosea chapter 2, verse 13. You say you sure are picking this afternoon. I'm just thought I'd hit it all while I was at it. Get it over with. And I will visit upon her, chapter 2 of Hosea, verse 13, the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. So, the wearing of the earrings. My question was, when I was reading Genesis 35, why did Joseph take the earrings and hide them when he was hiding the idols? Jacob, excuse me. Why did he do that? Because they were an abomination to God. And then we see in Exodus that it's a sign of a slave. And I'll tell you something else. You have a soul tie with whoever pierced your ears. And you need to, whoever pierced your ears, you need to break a soul tie and call your soul back. And also, what is it, Bell's palsy that comes in through the, I believe it's Bell's palsy.
A possibility.
What we found, I can't remember, that we have cast out spirits of infirmity from wearing the pierced ears, and we break the soul tie and call the soul back, and I call out the soul of the person that pierced the ears and ask the Lord to... I had my ears pierced. When my kids were all grown, at my daughter's wedding, when she was married, I wore clip-on earrings. I never could wear earrings because they hurt my ears. But I wore those, and she'd been married a little while, and somebody talked me into this before I knew anything about it, to have my ears pierced, and I did. My husband bought me the prettiest pair of gold earrings, little tiny ones, and I really liked them. I went to Chicago, to Hedwig's Church. I walk in, and I'm the only person there with earrings on. I'd never been there before. So I look around, and I began to get real uncomfortable because, I didn't want to stand out. I stand out like a sore thumb, I guess, enough, and I didn't want to, to look different. So I went to the prayer closet, their ladies' room, and I said, "Lord, I don't understand all this." But I didn't pull them off, but I went back up there, and sure enough, somebody got up and preached on it. And I was already under conviction because I saw this, and I knew they were in deliverance, and I knew we were in deliverance, and I wanted to be right in all, do everything. I didn't want to have an open door that the enemy could attack me. So, anyways, make a long story short, after I don't even remember, some little smart aleck of the world has got up and preached against earrings, and I got it. So I pulled them off, and I asked the Lord to forgive me because I had already, as I said, been under conviction. And when I walked into my church, we had carried five ladies. There's five of us had gone to the first time we'd gone to the church. And so when I came, I didn't say anything to the people who went with me. I just pulled them off and didn't say anything. I was being real quiet about all this. And I walked in my church, and the first thing everybody, the women said to me, "Where are your earrings?" So I just explained it to them and said, "Now you do what you want to. I don't care. My job is to tell you about it." So I had to pray for the Lord to heal my ears. I repented of it. And I've never been sorry. I'm just praise the Lord that I did. All right, let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. That's, I tell you, my whole point of the thing, really the thing that bothers me the most is the soul tie you have and then the physical problems that can come in through it. And over in Leviticus in chapter 18, 19? Okay. "For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even that soul shall..." 28, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." Okay, that's the men with their tattoos. The marks, it's an abomination of God. "You shall not make any cutting in your flesh." That also covers, that says for the dead. And I say that also will cover your any cuttings that you've put in your flesh. "Do any print, any marks upon you, I am the Lord. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary." Oh, I went a little further than I intended. But well, and there, let's read that. "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them, for I am the Lord your God." And that's an abomination to the Lord to get into witchcraft, to go to a fortune teller and have your fortune read. It's an abomination. Go to Isaiah. You're right. Thank you. It is. When you pray over tattoos, you need, and if you have a tattoo, repent of it. Ask God to forgive you and break soul tie with the person that gave it to put it on you. It's marking your body, and your body is... if you really look at the earrings and the tattoo, what we're doing is desecrating the temple. And our body is the temple of God. Isaiah 65, verse 2. "I have spread out my hands all the days unto a rebellious people who walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face. They sacrificed in gardens and burn incense upon altars of brick, which remaineth among the graves and lodges of the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels." Isaiah 66, verse 4. "Also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer, and when I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes." That's not the scripture. Where is my scripture? yeah, before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. I was looking for the one on the, yeah, that's the one I'm on. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Swine's meat. God says it's unclean. Over in Leviticus, he talks about pork, hog, pigs, swine's meat is unclean. It's unhealthy. It has worms in it. The doctors have even proved that that there's it's trichinosis, and it's an unclean thing. And when you eat it, people that have high blood pressure are told not to eat it, pork, and yet people eat it. They know about it, and they'll still eat it. And they mock people who don't. I've had people mock me because I won't eat. I haven't missed it. I was raised in the country. My dad used to slaughter hogs. Fall, you would do the whole thing and hang them. I never cared for it. Bacon I ate, but I didn't care for any of the other part. And I didn't miss it. So when the Lord had shown this to us, and we just totally stopped eating anything in the area. And when I went home one time from over here, I'd been teaching over here, and I taught it in the church many times. And I don't know, I just felt led of the Lord to teach it again. And the women, every one of the women, manifested on it. I started calling out the fat and the worms and broke a curse from having eaten pork. And everyone in our church, I'm talking about the women, they delivered men, sat there and acted like they were innocent. So they kept theirs, and that was okay with me. It was their problem. But the girls all got deliverance from it, and they repented of it. Now, I'll tell you this. I had to do it just recently. One of them forgot what I taught and what I believed. And she was talking to me on the telephone, and she says, "Oh, we're going to have Thanksgiving. We're going to have this, what is it, those... It's a ham, but that's a real expensive type. We're paying $50 for ham." I didn't say a word. "Honey baked." And she's talking about all this ham. I didn't say a word. But bless my soul, when Sunday came, I preached. When Christmas, they celebrate Christmas, they had Christmas dinner. I said, "What you having for dinner?" "Oh, we're having turkey." Well, I had to remind them, because there were two of the women that told me, and they had forgot about it. They forgot that I would say something about it. I didn't say anything then, but I preached, and I just used that scripture and said, "God says it's unclean." I said, "I didn't say it. I didn't write this book. I'm just reading it." I said, "That's God's word, and you tell me you want to obey God." And I said, "And you go out and put a ham on your table. Not only do you eat it, but your whole family does." I said, "Shame on you." when I was preaching it, they'd already eaten ham. I didn't do deliverance on them either. I did not do it. I would not do it. I said, "Lord, when you tell me, I will." When they say, "We probably need deliverance from it," well, I'll do it. But I'd already been that road once before, and I just kind of get tired of casting out the same things, especially when you go and do it deliberately, But anyways, well...
I'll make a remark. There's never been any pork served in this on this campground by any of us since we've been here in 25 years. Now all the meat you eat at this place is either chicken, turkey, or beef.
And I'll tell you, if you like sausage,
we have wonderful beef sausage.
And you can get turkey. I like once in a great while.
Pray for.
I got to get you all fixed again, huh? Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord. I pray that your word will bring forth fruit in all of our lives. And, Lord, we come now in the area of to deliver. Father, we come confessing our sins before you. I ask you to forgive us, and we just praise you now and give you glory in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break every curse. I'm going to start with what I just finished with. I break the curse of eating of pork over everyone here in the name of Jesus. every curse in Jesus' name, and I call out every spirit of trigonosis in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, let them go in Jesus' name. I call out the from eating of the blood. I call break the curse of eating of the blood, and I call every curse out from eating of blood. We call the soul ties of the blood out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come against all those all the forces in the name of Jesus and render them powerless in Jesus' name. Come on, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. In the name of Jesus, we come against the idols. We cast down our idols in Jesus' name. Everything that God calls an abomination in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Idols that we've made of our children, we repent of it, Lord, and ask you to forgive us. And in the name of Jesus, we call out every abomination in the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, come on out there in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose all the spirits of, I'm just going to start with, I'm going to start with deception. Spirits, deceiving spirits, I break the curses of deception over each one of us, and I call deception out. Loosen them and let them go. You spirits of deception, seducing spirits, in the name of Jesus, lying spirits, deceiving spirits, turn loose and let them go. Come on out of them in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break that curse of incest in the name of Jesus over all the children in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I break that curse of arrested development in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask you to loosen it from the children right now in Jesus' name. Come on out there. Let them go. Let them go. Spirits of I break the curse of incest. And I call it out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We Father, we ask you to restore everything the enemy has stolen from the children. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen them. All the abuse. I come against abuse in the name of Jesus. Loosen them and turn them loose and come out of there. I come against the deaf and dumb spirit. Loosen them. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, turn loose. Turn loose and let them go. All the spirits of pride and disobedience, rebellion, come on out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirits of deception, in the name of Jesus, doubt and unbelief. Spirits of rebellion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirits of rebellion against God's word in the name of Jesus. Get my own out. If y'all won't get delivered, I will. Y'all sit there like you're full of pride. I call pride out in Jesus' name. Name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, all of the pride. I break, I call, bind Leviathan and call him out in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Help. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let them go. Pride, Leviathan, doubt, and unbelief. Well, I'm always on this end. I need on the other. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Praise the Lord. I'm getting delivered. I wish you all were. In Jesus' name. Come on, let them go. Come on. All the doubt and unbelief and pride and stubbornness. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and let them go. All pride, little pride, big pride. In the name of Jesus, all the fears, fear of losing our children, fear of people, of what people will say, turn them loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come on, let them go in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for deliverance, Lord. I thank you for these people. And I ask, Lord, you bless them. And Lord, we bind the enemy. We bind the enemy off of us. We ask, Father, that you minister healing. We ask right now, let's ask the Lord to fill us up with his presence. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you fill us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding, counsel, might, fear of the Lord, spirit of the Lord. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all you do for us day by day. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
This is the end of this message.